I wanted to do for sort of a grand finale for the year was to go through the Shtak Suba and also the Tanoim. The handout I have is the Shtak Suba. I have here also the Tanoim, these so-called Ramesh's Tanoim, and the traditional traditional Tanoim. So I think what I'll do is I'll do the Ksuba. I'll give the people davening upstairs a chance to get down. I'd like to talk to you all about the Tanoim first. It happened twice recently that I was at a wedding. And one was Aaron's wedding and one was one of the Hirsch weddings, where they brought the old-fashioned Tanoim, which you'll see in a minute we don't use. So I wrote on the back of it the so-called new nusach. I had a little deja vu. I remember when I was a high school boy, one of the older Pirchei leaders got married in Menorah Temple. Remember Menorah Temple? And nobody will call anything a temple today, but Menorah Temple was a hall on 14th Avenue, Bubba today, right? So Ramesh was Masada Kedushin, and I remember distinctly, although it's a 50-year-old memory, with a flare, Ramesh making a big X on the Tanoim, turning it over, and in his own handwriting, writing another Tanoim. And I sort of remember this. You always wonder if your childhood memories are romanticized images. So the chassid's name was Hudi Samis, Rabbi Hudi Samis. He's been a Rebbe all his life. And he retired. And this year he came to Torah Das. He learned the Chavrusa first Seder with Rav Aaron Palm. So when he came, I ran over to him. I said, "Is it true that by your wedding, Ramosha did that?" He said, "Yeah." And he still has it, of course. I don't have my Tanoim, but if Ramosha would have handwritten it, I would have it also. So I asked him to bring it in. So he brought me a photostat of it. The question is how any shtar is kosher in Rav Moshe's handwriting, because it's not so easy to read Rav Moshe's handwriting. When he got older, I remember he had all the hamlotzes and the tzedakah things to sign. So they took three of his close people in Fez Yerushalayim to all see who could get closer to a forged Rav Moshe's signature. So the line they said afterwards is Rav Moshe signed, and the three of them signed, and Rav Moshe came in last. This was the least legible of all of them. But at any rate, so putting aside the Shtak Suva for a few minutes, I want to talk to you about the Shtak Tanoim. I have in front of me here, you don't have, two versions of a Tanoim. One is the traditional Tanoim, which Chabad still uses, and one is also the traditional Tanoim that most Hasidus, if you go to a farm store in Borough Park, you get the Tanoim.
So when did it change? When did it start? When did it change?
So I'll explain to you. Ramesha pretty much changed it. What happened? Let me go Beseder. First, the traditional Tanoim. This is taken from Chabad Tanoim. They all start Yalav Yisrael Gan Rotem Matzisha Matzatayv, etc. And it reads the following: Eloin Rashi Prakim Beezer Shech and Shchakim Shenidbru V'Husnu Benhani Shnei Atzadim. These are the conditions that were discussed by the two Tzadim. It's Adeichad So and So. It's a Bnei Achasim. It's Hasheni Anifah First. It's a Bitei Akala. And then it says, "Reishis Dava Hachasin Yisa Zakala LaMazel Tov Bishata Umitzlachas." That always says. Then it says, "Hari Hanichbar Hamafursin Hanal Oimim Sabanei Hachasin Hischai Vatzmi Lite Matonais Blank." So what it basically is that the father of the chasin obligates himself to give, and it's left blank to fill in when he's obligating himself, a monthly stipend or an apartment or a deer in Eretz Yisrael.
Alexis.
So that's filled in, Alexis, about that. and ubegadim lachasin and al kamidig negidim hamafusamin. The custom in all Tanoim was that the father of the chasin obligated himself to provide bigdei Shabbos for his son. Then the next paragraph, hanichbar hamafursim, and I write nichbar hamafursim and everybody, not everyone's so mafursim, but hanichbar hamafursim, I mean, it's abitei aktalas, kaibas elite, nadin blank. Nadin blank, hakala hanal. Matonis la chosin hanal. And then it also says, begodim la kala hanal, kamini nigidim hamafursim. So this, it's actually real tanoim. Tanoim means conditions. The Gemara says, elu devarim haniknim ba'amira. Normally you need a kinyan. There's one man, the Amir, the Gemara, that says, Tanoim anikna ba'amira. Even if you just say it, normally saying is not a Gemara's das. But when they obligate each other, then it's done that way, and the shtar has an Arif Kablin on both sides. That's the old shtar. Now, if you go into a Sfarim store in Borough Park, you don't get a shtar with all these blanks. And this is a shtar that people bring to a wedding. And the Litvish Rabbanim in America refused to use it. Rabbi Yaakov didn't use it. Rabbi Moshe didn't use it. Because it's just not true. But it basically says, it starts the same way. L'mazel tov yalav yitzmach, etc., and they all start that way. And then the stories that they sell today just says the following. Says Harav blank Hanichim Hanal Mechayv Etzasur Lahal Bishmelay Achasan Bidei Kavod LeShabbos Vihantiv Ulechayil Kechad Hanegidim. Know what that means exactly? Like a chashuv a person. LeKfi Kvaydei Matanis LaHakala LeFi Kvaydei. So it's very ambiguous. Matanis LaHakala. Those the old stories had a blank. You filled in the number. Here it says Matanis LaHakala LeFi Kvaydei. That's the first part of the specifics. And then, Pliny, Mechayev Esasra, Habish, Bite Akhtal, Bite Kavod, Lishabas, Niyad, Lachayel, Kechera, Nekidim, Lefik Vaidai, and Matanis Lachosin, Lefik Vaidai. Obviously, it's open to interpretation. How many Matanis is Lefik Vaidai for any given Chosin? And that's pretty much all it says. Then it says, Mana Chosin, Yel, Mazel Tov, etc. So the shtar is essentially meaningless. Even the idea that parents buy clothing for their children, today's children want to buy their own clothing, they're not so, I mean, the money they'll take, but what happened over time is that the first nosach, where you fill in tanoim, so at least it makes sense, you're making specific tanoim. But the second nusach, and those tanoim are usually made at the time of engagement. In other words, b'chsidim arayim, I mean, they break a plate at the time of engagement. Were they write in the shtar specifics? I'm not sure. But the shtores that they sell, if you go into a store in Williamsburg and Borough Park, in the Sfarim store, and yes, your tanoim, you get the nusach that I read you, that obligates Matanei Slachos and Kfi Kvaydai and the Big Day Shabbos and Big Day Chayim.
What did they use in Europe?
I wasn't there. I assume that they spelled it out. They spelled out the Tanoim, like in the Nusach that Lubavitch uses. And Lubavitch has a letter from one of the Rebbes. I think Reb Levi Yitzchak was the third from the last Rebbe. Anyway, they have a letter explaining the Cheshivas of Tanoim. But I assume that they spoke out that they wrote out the Tanoim in Eretz Yisrael today, where there's a major issue with the Diris, etc. They do write, many of them do write Tanoim. But in America, it's not done much. Ramesh used to say that it's a little of a mystery why the Kala side pays for a wedding. In the Gemara, it says clearly the chassan side pays for the wedding. That the chassan, right? It says, Rachman al-Assam, meis, imay shal kala and aviv shal chassan. Why imay shal kala? She prepares tachshitim. And aviv shal chassan, because he prepares the suda. He prepares the meal for the wedding. It was always the tzad chassan. Kala nehenim sudas chassan, veinim esamchai. It's always called sudas chassan. And even in time of Shulchan Aruch, it's still called the sudas chassan. So Ramesha said that today, when the Kala's side pays for a wedding, that's in place of the Nadin. The Nadin became, the one-time major payment became passé, and it was out of style. So instead, they pay for the wedding, that's like the mokim the Nadin. It's a suggestion, whether that's so or not. These are the old Tanoim.
Was it based on the economics? That's why they spelled it out? Was it based on the economics of Europe?
Could be spelled out on the economics, and it could be... There was an understanding that it would be very hard to do, and people would be more likely to deny their obligations. It could be, as a conjecture, I'm not sure why. But it was done this way, for the better or the worse. Maybe it's better if you spell out, I don't know.
The old one says something about takkanos that go back to the time of the Rishonim and the Kehilas, I'm sure.
So I'm not familiar with that. Okay, I'm sure different communities had different. So I'll tell you where Moshe is tonight. Good. Let me.
Why did
Rabbi Yaakov didn't do Tanoim. Rabbi Yaakov said, "What do you need Tanoim Bechlau?" The Rabbi Yaakov's family says over that Rabbi Yaakov didn't do Tanoim, and there was a couple that he married off that didn't have children, and the Rebbe told them, "Because you don't have Tanoim, that's why you have no. That's why you're not zeichet to children." So they told Rabbi Yaakov. So Rabbi Yaakov said, I'm sure that's not why, but since they're accusing me, I have to daven and make sure that they have children. And from now on, he gave them an option. You want to know him, I don't do it. Get somebody else to do the shtar to know him. But there was a certain amount of hesitation not to do to know him. Everyone knows that the ladies break a plate, so we can break a plate without to know him. Like, it's funny. So Ramesha wrote what's essentially a meaningless document. It's not meaningless, but it doesn't obligate anything. And I have here Ramesha's Nosach, which is again, Mazel Tov Yalav Yisvan Gan Rotov, Magim Reisha Sachris, it starts again. The Magim Reisha Sachris is a reference to the original Zivug of Adam Chava. Rite Shev Tev Shev, Dibri Atzadon, Vabrish, Nibru, Lizam, Mehan, Shnei Atzadon, Mehainu, Mitzad Echad, so-and-so, Mitzad Echosin, and so-and-so, Mitzad Akala, Shkvar Niskaimu, Kolach Yuvan, Mitzad Echosin, La'akala, we're at the wedding, so whatever obligations were already carried out. And nobody has complaints one to the other. It basically says that we have no tainus, that we're going to come to the wedding. And that's what Moshe's nusach. What? So I'll explain what that means in a minute. Okay, good. But right now, the gist of Ramesh's nusach is just to have something. That's basically what Ramesh did. He wrote a shtar. It should be a shtar. And what Meir is mentioning, Rapam said that if he would have been there, he would have suggested to Ramesh not to write Kvar Niskaimu Kol HaChiyuv. Sometimes they promised the chosin hashas and they didn't get it yet. That it was kvar niskaimu kol achiyuvin. But lamaisa, that's the nusach that.
Well, the same bottom line is you make it to know after the chosin to throw it away. Doesn't mean it.
But you're obligated. So, and any time you make a business deal with somebody, if you ignore it, so ignore it. But Hapi'alach, you're obligated. Regular tanam obligates.
Well, we say, we're saying now, changing the
nusach
now,
it's divinity. It means exactly what it says, which is nothing. Okay. Well, Elam Zal says Shemtayus is fierce. Maybe that's it's worth it just for that.
Why did the women make the plate?
Why is the plate broken, or why the women break the plate?
Both.
The plate is broken by Tanoim traditionally to show that it's a final decision. You can't fix a klicharis. The why women do it is a mystery. It's a mystery that I once asked in a shir about 20 years ago, and it got people interested, and nobody really could explain beyond the fact that you want to give the ladies some part in the ceremony. It is possible, this is my own suggestion, the shtar obligates the father. There's a prior obligation of ksuba. Generally, when you have a schaivasin, the prior obligation takes precedence to the later obligation. If you have shibudim, an earlier shibud is meshubah before a later shibud. So technically, the lady's tzviya in haksuba, which in tushar ksus and aina, has precedence to the chiyum of the tanoim. It may be by including the women in the obligation that their rights become secondary to the hischaivus. They're recognizing that this hischaivus is taking place. Maybe that might be a technical reason. It's just my own suggestion of why.
They probably have a way to do that.
Okay.
The whole thing changes.
So, B'nai, We change. I many times there was no father. I changed the vav to a hey, bina, instead of benai. Plainly, I'm mitzah benai, and there are weddings where we take out the whole benai. I mean, it's true.
What? If there are support obligations going for years, why is it not a waiver of that? That they say
not a waiver.
They say the tainus on each other.
That doesn't mean future obligations are void. It means right now we. I think that's what it means.
What's the point of the kinyan that you make by the
only thing that makes sense is that Mishar to bring the chasm to the wedding and bring the kal to the chuppah. I don't know what the point of the kinyan is. I have no idea.
Is the try to make a kinyan like that?
No.
Physical obligation?
The kinyan devarim. It's not a real kinyan. There's a sma that says the reason we do when his tanoim, we redo it right before they did it when they got engaged. Why doing it again before the chuppah? So the sma says that to show gemiras das, even for kinyan devarim, which kinyan devarim is not chal because there's no real gemiras das on kinyan devarim. So the sma says in chayshu mishpah. But at any rate, this is the story with the tanoim and. Inshallah Yisrael, you know, that's okay, the ikar I wanted to do is get to the ksuba, which you have copies of, and as I said, you know, we're going to excuse me, once
even if they decide not to go through the wedding, they'll go through the wedding and then get again. Why is that?
So any obligation that's between two parties can be waived by the haskama of the two parties, obviously. But it is said, b'shem de gra, that the reason they break a plate by the tznoim and a glass by the under the chuppah is because tznoim is like klicheres; it can't be you can't break the tznoim and glass, which in time of Chazal could be fixed. It can be fixed, the wedding can fix what it gets. So they say, b'shem de gra, that it's better to go ahead with the wedding and get divorced than to break an engagement. Now, of course, nobody today would follow such a thing, It's even osur to be with a wife aldas lagarsha. So very, very difficult. Because of that, in the litvisha world, they don't write to Noam. They write it half an hour before the chuppah because they feel safe that Bez Hashem will make to the chuppah. But in the litvisha world, the Tadav fell away because of this grub. Excuse me? So I can't answer. The Gra, I don't think is. It's definitely not Bixav anywhere. Maybe in Maisarav or in Kesarosh, but those things, that's not. It's not clear. And it's very hard to understand that the guy meant the Lamaisa as opposed to just a Chaymer Advarim, a breaking of art without us going. Now, in front of you, you have the Shtak Suv. It's on both sides of the page. I originally just Googled it and printed it, and I realized that for somebody with my eyesight or worse, the little letters are not ideal. So I went back to the other side, and you don't need both sides. I just had the paper in front of me. So on the other side, I took from the Sefer Ksuba Kilchasa, and I just printed it in a more legible nusach. The Nusach of the Shtak Suba. And I'd like to explain. On Nusach of the Shtak Suba, there are two Nakudas. Number one, when you learn Ksubis, it's such a funny thing. I learned Ksubis, the boys in Shiva. And it says in the Ksuba, Benin Dichrin Diyavil Chiminoi, etc., Benin Nukvin Diyavil Chiminoi. And everyone goes to weddings, they listen to Ksuba, they don't hear words, Benin Dichrin Diyavil Chiminoi, Benin Nukvin Diyavil Chiminoi. Nobody hears any of these Nuschais. And nobody asked a question. I remember one year we learned Ksubis, and one of the boys in my shir, not in my shir, one of the seniors, came over to me, and he said he was curious. He asked his mother, "Could I see your Ksuba?" So he looked at the Ksuba, and he said, "It said Meir, it didn't say Mosayim." So he said to his mother, "Why is it Meir? Why does it say Mosayim? What does his mother know? She's not thinking about Mosayim, she's thinking about Meir." So, I don't know. So, I have to ask Rabbi Reis, it's a good ksuba. She'd be a ksuba. Now, obviously, she wasn't a basula at the time she got married. And he's unaware of it. And,
He's not,
because I didn't explain it to him. And I just told him that the way it's written is fine, and Shalom Yisrael. But it's just weird how you can learn. You know, you can learn that it says, a basula is Messiah and a bula is Meya, and then you get your mother's suba, it says Meya, you say, hey, how come it says Meya? And you don't connect what it says in the Gemara to what it says in the suba. But okay, maybe there's a reason for that. Our ksubas are three shtaris. Every suba we use, now the ksuba is the same for everybody, and I saw they have a Hebrew version. This is Aramaic. We use the Aramaic version because we stick with the Nuschais of Chazal. There are many who would prefer a Hebrew version, and it's just a translation. It's not nothing different. Our Shtar Ksubas, the one you have in front of you, and I'll show it to you in a minute, is three documents. It's a Ksuba, it's a Tesefes Ksuba, and it's Nichsei Tzem Barzel. There are three parts to the ksuvis that we have, and the nusach is written as our old Jewish shtaris, as if the witnesses are speaking. A shtar that we say edim achsumim b'shtar k'mishidach k'roedus abibest. When edim sign a shtar, they're verbalizing what their testimony is. So, for example, if you have a shtar about a loan, the Nusach is going to say, we were in this place when Pliny the Malva lent money to Pliny the Leiva, whatever, under whatever terms. The one speaking, so to speak, in the Shtar are the witnesses. The Kanina Minoi, we made a kinya from him, means we, the witnesses, Kanina Minoi. So the language of it is that the witnesses are speaking. One other ksuba rule is that all shtaris are written and it can even be signed ahead of time. In other words, let's say I plan to borrow money from Reuven. So I'm the lover. So I tell you, at 10 o'clock, I say, no, I'm going to yeshiva, I'm going to borrow money. Do me a favor, sign a shtar. Well, I say in the shtar. We witnesses testify that Rabbi Reisman owes Pliny $100, and you sign it. Now, at the time you're signing it, I don't owe him $100. How are you signing it? So the answer is that shtaris, kaisu shtar l'loiva afal pishen amal ve'imai. Shtaris are written midas ha-mischayev. Das ha-mischayev means the person who stands to lose by the shtar. That's the borrower. The lender stands to gain. The das ha-mischayev, the das, the one who's mischayev, I'm mischayev myself in the shtar to pay Reuven $100. You're allowed to sign the shtar midas ha-mischayev and give it to me with the understanding that I'll give it to him at the time that I take a loan. Same thing in the house. We testify that Reuven sold the house to Shimon. As long as you give it to Reuven, he's the mischayev. The man says that when the lender brings out the shtar, it's an ansadi that the loan took place. Because the mischayev would never give the shtar to the other party unless he was really mechayev himself. And that's the way shtaris work. The same thing with the ksuba. The language of the ksuba is written, so to speak, al ha'asid. Now, I'll talk to you about the dating of it separately, but if you take a look at the ksuba before the Simitam HaMazotah, it starts, Be'er so-and-so b'Shabbos, it's the day of the week. grammatically, we would write Be'rishon b'Shabbos, if it's Sunday, but we write Be'echad b'Shabbos. Since the Torah said, V'yer v'yibayke yayim echad, so we write Be'echad b'Shabbos, if it's Sunday. If you're up a Rishon, it's Kasher also. So-and-so many days, L'chaydesh, so-and-so. And then the Yesh, and whatever it is, L'briya sa'aylam. L'minyin shanu moinen kan, and you write the location. So, the L'briya sa'aylam would seem to be enough. The language, L'minyin shanu moinen kan, Brooklyn, New York, we fill in, seems to be excessive. It's so many years. The Bria Asylum has nothing to do. It's the same number of years in Bria Asylum if you're in Brooklyn or if you're in Yerushalayim or if you're in Tehran, wherever you may be, it's the same. So one of the best understood reasons is that there are two ways of counting the year, Tavshin Pehe. It's not clear at all that this year is Tavshin Pehe. Like everything by Jews, this is Machlaikis. Machlaikis is how to count. Our counting Tavshin Pehe is called the counting of Cheshbon Tayu. The year this Tavshin Pehe Dalet, the Cheshbon Adam. What I mean is the following. Chaf Hei Elul, Hashem started Maaseh Bereishis. On the 21, Hashem called, gave the day the name Chaf Hei Elul, and on the sixth day of creation, He created Adam. Adam was created on Rosh Hashanah. Zayam Chilas Baisecha, Zikar Laim Rishon, is a reference to the creation of Adam. So Adam was created on Aleph Tishrei. The Machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban, if the day Adam was created is year 2 or year 1. Meaning, well, Adam started, I would say it's the beginning of the first year. Ramban says, no, the beginning of the second year. Yod Echa B'Shana Chashav Shana. There are already 5 days of creation beforehand. And therefore, Adam was created in year 2. So that's what is called Cheshbon Tayu. It starts from the year of Tayu Vavayu. One is called Cheshbon Adam, the year of Cheshbon Adam. Now, mysteriously, all counting until the Churban Bayis Sheni is all Cheshmin Adam. So we learn, Rashi explains the Gemara, he's going to the Gemara, and Abay Dezara Daf Tes, Daf Yemi is somewhere near Daf Tes at the moment. What?
This week.
So Daf Tes is the big Rashi, about all the years. So Rashi goes to the Cheshmin, and we all know that Avram was created, and was born in 1948. Not in 1948 from the Common Era, but 1948 from creation. How do you get that? Well, the 20 generations. You go through 10 generations till Noach. Then you go through the next 10 generations. Each one, it says, Pliny was had a child on this and this day. This age. And he ended up, you get 1948. So, once you know Avram is 1948, you know Yitzchak was 2048. Avram was 100 years old. And you know Yitzis Mitzrayim was? From Yitzchak's birth? 2448, because it's 400 years. You know they went into Eretz Yisrael 40 years later. So it's 2488. And then the Chorban was 850 years after that. So you get 3338, I think. So that's how you once you know 1948, Rashi goes to the whole Cheshmin. That's all Cheshmin Adam. Because it relies, Adam was this age when Shais was born, Shais was this age when Chanoch was born, etc. Recently, every baby is 1 week old, 2 weeks old, 3 weeks old. You're not a year old till the year passes. His age is for sure. The Kesh is the age of the world, not the age of the person.
But
so the numbers work out. So he was this many years old when his child was born. Now, for whatever reason, the Cheshbonos we use the last 1,000 years are Cheshbon Tayu. Rabbi Fendel, who wrote, Rabbi Schayer Fendel wrote a number of history books. He went to the Chazai Nish and asked him what to do about Cheshbon Tayu or Cheshbon Adam. He told him, Tul Churban Bayis Rishon worked with Cheshbon Adam, and post Churban Bayis Rishon worked with Cheshbon Tayu. That's why we have that the Churban was in the year 70 or in the year 69. We have two different, at least two different ways of numbering it, depending if you're numbering going forward or you're numbering counting backwards, you get two different numbers. So, since there are two ways of counting, so we write Laminyan Shanu Maynin Kan. Now, I did the Ksuba with my class, we were learning Ksubas, and there was a Sotheby's auction, and a couple of boys went, not that they were holding by bidding for anything, but it was old Judaica. So one of them took a picture, he brought me back a photograph of an old calendar from from the 1500s, 1600s, not that old, and it said the Hebrew year on top. It said Shna so and so lecheshbin tayu, and it says Sho lecheshbin adam. Now the standard calendar had had two numbers on it. So when you say leminyan shanu maynin kan, there were apparently multiple ways of counting the years. Okay, that's an aside. Let's get back to the Lashon. So this gives us an excuse to write the play. In a Khan, you write the name of the city, and we write the name of the state. There are those who write the Medinas New York, Maslam Brooklyn, Medinas New York. There's some who are reluctant. Medina means country. Whether a state is a country is debatable, and my Rebbeim, or Palm, and Ramesha, they just wrote Brooklyn, New York. They didn't write Massa, they didn't write Medina. They just wrote Brooklyn, New York. Better write less and not be inaccurate. But there are others who write differently. Then it says the name Eich Reb so and so, Ben Reb so and so, Amalah Hada Basulta. Now the Nusach Hada Basulta is for a Basula. We use for an almana. We have here in Shul Wednesday. Mrs. Gerecht is getting married, So I prepared to bring along the besides the issues of this from the husband's side, but there's a good chance they're going to have the wrong suba there. So I prepared a couple of copies of a suba sar malta, an almanis suba, so I could be the hero when when they say, "Oh, we have a suba, what are you going to do?" I say, "Don't worry, I have one." I just have to remember to bring it. Now, what's interesting is we don't write almana, we don't write grusha. We write armalta, tav lemesiv tandum lemesiv armalum. Armalta is warif and almana, and for a grusha we write matrachta. The losha matrachta. Not sure why we write matrachta. It could be just embarrassing for her to announce grusha. Matrachta, she has no clue what it means. Nobody has any clue what it means, so except for hopefully the Messiah Kedushin. So maybe that's why they use the Nusach. If she's a Ba'ula, well, she's a Ba'ula, and nobody knows. But the Chazakah, they tell the Messiah, it's happened to me, that she's a Ba'ula for whatever happened to her in the past. The main reason to write Armalta, Matrachta, or Ba'ula is if her husband dies and she wants to remarry and she wants to come and marry a kohen, the next Masada Kedushin asks for the old ksuba. You bring the old ksuba and you see if she was a psulta when she married this man, and this man has died, she's an almana, so she can marry a kohen. On the other hand, if she got 100, it says either matrachta or bula, or even it doesn't say napsula, napula, but it's 100 zuz, so then she can marry a kayan, but it depends. A woman that was nibala to Yisrael doesn't become asa to a kayan. A woman who's mezana only becomes a zayna. A single woman, a single woman who's mezana only becomes asa to the kayin. She's mezana with a guy, with someone she's not allowed to marry, or God forbid, an erva. If she's mezana with a yid, she doesn't become asa. So Rav Moshe was matter writing besulta, and the chassan has to know you'd be chayiv more zuzim than he'd really be chayiv. But usually he's very masculine, very masculine, and you write besulta because it's not going to cause a problem later. I remember once, if I'm not mistaken, I might be mistaken, I think Moshe Lieber's, was it his father-in-law remarried many years ago, anybody remember? Remarried. I don't want to say, maybe it wasn't her, but she remarried, and her old ksuba taka said armalta, wasn't a kayin anyway, but they found that afterwards she had been a grusha and then an almana, and then that was her third marriage. Now fortunately it wasn't a kayin, but it could cause problems. You bring a ksubas armalta, they can assume you can marry a kayin. She had been a grusha prior to being an Armelta. I don't know what the eitz is for that exactly. I did have also experience with somebody who was not eligible for a ksuvas psulta, but it's very embarrassing, especially for our parents, you know, a regular from woman who fell in at one point. So what we did, we did a ksuba under the chuppah, regular ksuvas psulta, and then by the yichud room I went in with one other person, and we ripped up the old ksuba and did a new ksuba that was a kosher ksuba for them. But
all you have to do is to tell the guy who reads the ksuba to...
Yeah, so they're always nervous that he's going to make a mistake. I've had this by an adopted child. So we write in the shtar by an adopted child. Usually we'd like to write the real name, but if not, we write Pliny Ben Aviv, Shegid like a Ben. Ramesh has such a nusach. The son of So, Shegid like a Ben, who raised him like a son. And we say he won't read it out loud, he'll just read Pliny Ben Pliny without Shegid like a Ben. They're so nervous that Chas Shalom, he'll by mistake say she can look at Ben. They sort of insist to have two ksubas, one for a person reading it, and one for everybody else. Not that anybody will notice exactly what you read under the ksuba anyway, but people are very nervous. What?
Why do we read ksubas a lot? Why is
there are two reasons. The reason says the Mordechai is to make a hefsik between two bar perek offense. The other reason is we use Eidei Mesira. Normally, Eidei Mesira have to read the document before they see the Mesira. So we read it out loud in front of Eidei Mesira. Now they give over the document. It's considered Eidei Mesira.
Why did Eidei Mesira of the get have to? Why did Eidei Kedusha have to read the Eidei Mesira?
You don't have to.
You say tell the Eidei Kedusha to watch the Mesira.
Just to take it from the filter. What?
Don't they usually they have Eidei Kedusha that they want them to see the Mesira of the get? No?
So that's just a practical matter. I was there, the Eidei Kedusha disappeared. So I told the person who read the ksuva, you and I will be Eidei Mesira. You know, it doesn't.
Mesira too doesn't make the
Kedusha. What?
It's the Vas makes the Kedusha, not
the Mesira's ksuva. Yeah, so you don't need the same Eidei. Mesira's ksuva is a Mechayev the ksuva right away. Normally, a ksuva is not chal till the last, any shtar is chal the last minute of the day. And the Tashbats bring us to Minig was to have Eidei Mesira. You make two bar perek offense. So one day they did Kedushin and the Suin two different times. So you know it was made months apart. But now we do one after the other. So. Obviously it works, which I tell you, Mordechai says it works. Could be.
They can sign before the Kedushin?
So you can sign all shtaris could be signed ahead of time. L'dasa b'schayiv. In other words, the Meschayiv is the Chasim, as long as it's given to the Chasim, not given to the Kal. So all Shtaris, Shtar Mechira, everything can be signed. The question, it can be a Shtar Mugdav. It can be predated, because predated Shtar is Meshabit Karka too early. So here there's a tremendous Machlaikas where Moshe holds. There are some people who when they... Misadri Kedushin, this time of the year, when they're afraid the chuppah will be after Shkia, so they tell the chassan, look, we're dating it today, obligate yourself as of today, even though you don't have to. And they rely on that. If I remember correctly, Rabbi Yishvei relied on that. I remember the wedding, he told the chassan, be mechayev yourself as of now, and that'll be that. The Ramesha holds, you can't do that. You can't obligate yourself in ksuba if you're not married. So what does it mean, thank you, what does it mean you're obligating yourself in ksuba? The words don't make any sense. So Ramesha was very against it. So Rav Palm, most of his life, Rav Palm just wrote a Shtar Me'ucher, said a Shtar Me'ucher is kosher, and he wrote it even the earlier, he wrote the later date, Shtar Mugdim is pasur, Shtar Me'ucher is kosher. He just wrote a Shtar Me'ucher. Something happened at some point. Somebody made a tumult, and he stopped wanting to do. I don't know. When I was driving, going to a wedding, he says, "What's the big deal? You read Shtar Me'ucher and Shalom Yisrael, it's all good." What he started to do is wait a minute after Shkia. Once it's a minute after Shkia, he already wrote the next date. Because in Dine Mamin, you can only be Mechayiv yourself, or it's a Vadei Echiyav. So once it's been a Shvashis, you would apidin, you have to write the later dates. He waited even a little bit after Shkia. And so I was once sitting by a chassan table, and I was looking at my watch, waiting for a minute after Shkia. And Rabbi Flam, all of a Shalom, was there. And he said, 1 minute after Shkia? Ready? You're going to write the next date? Like, he said, 1 minute after Shkia? I told him, that's what Rav Palm does. Oh, okay. So I thought that was good. You know, because Shtar Me'ucher is really kosher. So that's what we try to do, and Shtar Mugdim is possible. And now let's get to the guts of the Shtar.
What's the downside? She's a bula, but she's still married to a coin. What's the downside? To
so Ramesha says that the Ramesha says you can write a sula. It's a sheker.
Prefer to have later it. On, if she has to remarry, now we're sitting out. Yeah, so it doesn't. Now you have to figure out.
Who's so Ramesha says you can write if you want. You can write a sula. You have to have a chosen, though.
So
that's a fascinating thing, because in Shulchan Aruch it says, if you don't write a shtar ksuva, you're still chayiv in a ksuva. It's tanai bezdin. It's tanai bezdin that you're chayiv in a ksuva. So you're chayiv in a ksuva no matter what. Not only that, in the Ramah, in Simas Samach Vav, which is the beginning of these dinim, he says, he says that Bizman Azeh, that we have a Chay Rabbeinu Gershon, not to be Megarish Bar Karcha. So why does a woman need a Shtar Ksuba? Lefayis is Daita. That the Ramah says, V'mokin She'ei Megarishim Ela L'Rotzen Ha'isha, the places where they keep Chay Rabbeinu Gershon, ain't Sarach L'Tev Ksuba. You don't have a Ksuba at all. And came Bizman Azeh, B'mdinas Eilu She'ein Megarish Bar Karcha Shalisha M'shem Chay Rabbeinu Gershon, because Baruch Lekamon, Hayef Shalachol Iksiva Suba. You don't even need a Suba. Havol in a minikay vein l'shanes. The minik is to have a Suba. Chas v'shalom, he says vein l'shanes. But in Ikar Adin, he says that we don't even need a shtar Suba. So in the time of Chazal, the chiyuv Suba tonight bezdin l'fayis is daito. We gave her a document. Bizman hazeh, we don't do bakarcha anyway. She could insist on the ksuba. So the Ramah says you don't need it mikra din, but we do it anyway. There are sifrei machshava. There's a sefer called Toshsei Ksubis, and his Agdama, he writes that ksuba is more than just a document. That he says Rashi Vayechi says when it says when Yaakov asked Yosef Mi'ela, who are they? He knew who they were. It was a chavrusa. It shows when you learn a chavrusa, you don't even ask him who he is, what he is, nothing. You just learn with him, right? Because he was a frayim. And then when Yosef brings him, he says, "Who are these people?" So he says, "Barayhem shenasa lekim bezeh." What's bezeh? Rashi's heraloi shtar erusim mishtar ksuba. So he showed him shtar erusim and a ksuba. Why do you have to show him a ksuba? What does people got to do with anything? So in this sefer, in Taisvei Ksuva, he writes in the Agdama, I forgot the shame who, that Ksuva is more than that. It sort of sets up a chasana as obligations one to the other. In the Gaisha world, people get married for their own benefit, their own pleasures, their own enjoyment. To set up a chasana mitchila, that a wedding is obligations, it's obligations one to another. So shtar ksuva is more than just the sort of the contractual obligation. We'll see in a minute. It mentions sher ksus anayna, because it's part of the mentality, so to speak, of a yiddish chasna, the way it's supposed to be. Yeah, so it's a question how he got Shtei Eidim. The Klosenberger Hasidim have a story that the Klosenberger Rebbe was 7 or 8 years old. They took him to an Adam Gal, I don't remember who, and they asked him, how did Yosef have Shtar Erisin without Eidim? And say, this Lekiume. And he said some very sharp terrors. It's hard to say it over briefly, but some pilpul type of terrors. So they have such a, you know, the Kasha is a good Kasha. Yeah, it's a little more challenging, but however he had it. What should I tell you? He had a shteiris. It could be ksav yada is good. The Rashi sheet is. He's a yid. Yosef held himself a yid, right? The machlek is Yosef the shvatim. Yosef held a yid. What? Who? She was a megayira. Without a bezdin, how's he megayira? Okay. Same way Avram was Megai. Avram didn't have a Bezdin. He's only one, right? Bezdin Shoshem. Bezdin Shoshem. They were Yidden. And let's look at the guts of the Shtar. The Shtar is really three parts. And the first part is really the Ksuba. On the flip side, I underlined the part that's the Ksuba. The part that's Ksuba is just the underlying piece. which says, after it says the date and the names, he says, Eich Shehabachar so and so, Allah had the Basulta Havali Liyintu, because that's Moshe of Yisrael. That means he said, Hari Abu Kadeshusli, it didn't happen yet. Vana Eflach, and here's the Lashon, Eflach Oikir Ve'ezim Ve'farnis. Okay, Eflach means to serve you. In a Kaddish by a Siyam, you say Lemeka Pulchana Nechra Me'ara. Pulchana is a government, is a people in charge, so to speak. So Ana Eflach, I'll let me be in charge of you, but it means ready to serve you. Va'iker Yalkar means respect. Yehuda Maisa Eira V'Simcha V'Sase V'Yikar. Yikar sounds like expensive, right? Yalkar is expensive or heavy. But Yakar is the language of Kavod as well. So, Eker, I'll respect you. Ezin is She'er. Afarnes is Ksus, are the other needs. Isichi Lichi, the double Lashon is Aramaic Lashon. Kihilchis Guvern Yodon. Kihilchis Guvern Yodon is meant to include the Ksuvas Ben Indichrin, the Ksuvas Ben Nukvin, all the conditions of a Ksuva that Rabbanon added. There's a Tshuva HaTashpat, a Chelekim or Tshuva Shin Aleph. He goes through the Nusach HaKsuba that we have. And he explained, Kichos Gover Yodan is meant to include all the other Chiyuvim. The Polchin, Mikrin, Zan, and Franz, and Shem, Bekushta. V'yavi l'chi mayer v'sulayichi, kese zuzi masin, the Chazi l'chi midaraisa. It's a big trouble. The Sfaradim don't write the Chazi l'chi midaraisa. So I'm giving you 200 zuz. The chazi lemechi dairaisa. Now ksuba is not dairaisa. Ksuba is the rabbana. So Taisus and Kedushin has a hard time. What does it mean the chazi lechi dairaisa? So Taisus answers the chazi lechi bezuzi dairaisa. Bezuzi dairaisa and zuzim that are dairaisa bezuzim. So that we do that. The Rebbeinu Tam was Ashkenaz. The Sfaradim write the Chazi Lechi Midrabanan. They don't write the Chazi Lechi Deraisa. Some just write the Chazi Lechi and they leave it. Umuzunaichi, that's Sher. Ksusaichi, that's Ksus. Sipukaichi goes together. Male of Asaichi is Aina. To be together. Ka'era Kalara. Vitsavias. Tsavi is the Lashon of wanting. Of Moras Sotab Sultadaba Habalintu, and she agreed to get married. Period. That's all Ksuba. The 200 Zuz and the Sherk Sasfaina, that's the end of the Ksuba. Then, the next piece is the Nisei Tzayim Barazel. What is Nisei Tzayim Barazel? When a woman comes into a marriage, what she brings in are either Nisei Malog or Nisei Tzayim Barazel. Either way. It's not true what the Velt says, that when a woman gets married, everything she owns belongs to her husband. Not true. The husband is allowed to use the income for support, for the house. But the Guf HaDavar still belongs to her. Now when she comes in and she owns an apartment building, so that's the same alone. She owns the apartment building, finished. Once she comes to a marriage and she has odds and ends around her, she comes in with different things. She has a bank account maybe and linen and the other things she brings in from her side. So for that we do Nisei Tzayim Barazel. Tzayim Barazel means we estimate its value and he's mechayev on the ksuba b'shas haget to give her back that amount. Look at the Lashon. The Dain, now Dalet Nun is Dain. Why is it Dain? So the Gemara says in Gittin, in the last parak, that Dain should be written Dalet Yud Nun. We don't want to write the word Din into a get or into a ksuba, so we leave out the Yud, and it shouldn't look like the word Din, but the word is Dain. Now sometimes people read it Vidon, okay, but it bothered upon when somebody would read it and read Din. The whole reason without the Yud is you shouldn't say Din, and then they say Din anyway, so it bothered him anyway. Except for a palm, I don't think anybody else noticed it. But Deinu Danya Nahavaslami Bey Avua. This is the thing she brought into the house from her father's house. We don't write Avua if she doesn't have a father. We write Bey Nosha, mm-hmm. By second marriage, from the house of the Noshin.
Does that refer to both Nisei Tzayim Barazel
And in the same alug?
No, specifically the same alug are understood not to be included, real estate. This is the things Dan Halisle that you brought in. Bein b'kesef, bein b'zor, bein tachshitin, b'nevushim shadusha, jnuda arsa. It's not real estate. It's cash, gold and silver, tachshitin, certain types of, it's a question of which tachshitim are included. Right. The money, the levusha, mishmushadira, things that are worn, things that are household items, shmuta arsa, and bedding. For those things, hakol kibbul alof, tasandinan, b'meis kukin kesef tzarf. Now we, Ashkenazim, always peg the Nisrei Tzeim Barzal half the ksuva value. Mm-hmm. So ksuva is 200, we make Nisrei Tzeim Barzal 100. The Sfaradim, they stick in whatever number they negotiate. They have all numbers, a lot of fives in them for some reason. And they stick in a number.
And they put dollars
on it. And they put dollars,
yeah. So this is not worth anything like that, the amount doesn't make a difference? That's really worth?
I don't know why we do it. This is what we do.
The Sfaradim put, I think it's much more. They put much more.
They put in high numbers, whether it's whether she's really coming in with $55,555. I don't know, but
when did it spread up? The
Kedushin to Avison. Let me finish first. It's good. That's why I'm finishing the Nusach. Vitzavi Gemen. He wants Chasan Dinan. This is the third part. This Tosefes Ksuba. So you have three parts to our Ksuba document. Hoysif lam in delay, oid meis kun kesef tzar chayachem kenegdon. Another 100, so 100, 200 for ksuba, 100 for the nagin, the same barzel, another 100 for tesefes ksuba, kenegdon, sacha koel, meskayim, zekukim, kesef tzarif. Sorry.
It's a different
client,
it's not the same
100. Because it says kesef tzarif, chayachem kenegdon, okay. The kach omar chasan dinan, now that's the end. Now here it's a catch-all. Kach Omer Chasan Dinan, Achrai Yishtar Ksufta Don, that's one. The Dan Yadayin, second part. Tesefta Don, the third part. Kabila Salai Vayasi Basroi, I'm a Kabbalah myself and my children. Lispara to pay Mekol Shva Arig Nisin Vekanin and Disli Tchas Kol Shemaya. From anything I own. So one of my interesting things in life is that I always wondered why we say Shva Arig Nisin. Arig sounds like woven items. Arigas, weaving. It always seems so strange to me. We say, Amechabit, all my woven items for the ksuba, it's such a weird thing to write. Alright, so what should I do? I don't understand. Then, I was being Mahavasedra Parshas Vaschanon, and Loi Sachmoid, the Targum is Loi Sarig. So I realized that Chemda in Aramaic is a Lashon of Arag. So I was thinking, Ishar Arig Nisin, all desirable. I assume that that's what it means, because I couldn't understand why woven things would be mentioned here. You're asking? That's probably what it means. Mekoshva Arig Nisin Mekaninin, I obligate all my good items. This is Chayz Kol Shemai, that I have. I didn't look. I assume they write Chemda, I don't know.
Good.
The kanoi, dosar anola mikni, things I presently own, I will own. The chasm disleinachrayis, lesleinachrayis. It's karka naksarka. Kula yachron varvon lefroimen and shtak suftada and the danyan and tisseftada. Again, all three parts. Minoi. Then it says afil megliva dalkasboi, even with the shirt off my back. That's a chiddush. Normally, if someone owes you money, he doesn't have to sell the shirt off his back. The dinam misadrin lebalchayv. The Sajjan Labachayv means that if someone owes money, we allow him, whatever it is, 30 days parnasa, a certain amount of clothing. There are things we don't take away the shirt off his back. The Chosin is obligating himself everything. Bechaya, Basa Chaya, some say Bechaya, B'maisa. Some people change Maisa to Basa Chaya. Yeah.
Nowadays, many Chosin get married with no assets. How do you see how far it is? How does that mean? Is that something?
You don't have to previous. It means he's obligated to he's obligated in the future to support. Rapam used to say, for people learning in Kailo, so Rapam liked to say in the Shmuz, that we say four things. Eflach, v'eker, v'ezen, v'farn, v'sichi lichi. So he said, look, if you're not doing the mezainis, you're not doing the farnas. And eflach, if it means to work, you're not doing the working. So all you're left with oiker, to treat over respect. So, like, you better treat her with respect, otherwise left with nothing. So that's how he would phrase it. But it's his obligation. If there's money, he doesn't have to worry. But if there's no money, it's always his obligation. Bullseye was once reading the Satmar Rebbe from Yisburg was the Masada Kedushin. I was reading this the Ksuba, so I read Ketikin Chazal. So he didn't interrupt me, but after he came over, he said, "By Satmar that Makbid say Chachamenu Zechrona Levracha. You want to say the word bracha under the chuppah." That's what he said. You want to say, so we say Zer Levrach. Okay, the law kasmachta, that means I'm not doing it on any presumption. But the law kutufsa dishtara. Tufsa dishtara, when you go online and there's a long thing and you say, I affirm that I read all the conditions, that's called tufsa dishtara. Tufsa dishtara, everyone knows you didn't read all the conditions. So even when you click, you read all the conditions, anything there that's not normally expected to be there, that's Tufsa Dishtar. See, he writes, the law Ketufsa Dishtar, even though every chassan is doing a Ketufsa Dishtar. Does every chassan know that a ksuba, a taisef, a ksuba? Nobody knows. But he obligates himself as if it's not Tufsa Dishtar. The kanina min, and they do a kinyan. So the Aden say, we did the kinyan. That's how really the Masada Kedushin shouldn't be doing the kinyan. The witnesses, Kanina Mitsandina, Lamara so and so. A comic of the first time when it crushed the Makayabe, a crush of a cat. What?
Is that
a mistake? The kuf. Oh, so the kuf is like this. It's one of the interesting minhagim that we're not sure where it comes from, is that most subis, and certainly all subis 50 years ago, had a line by the word Kanina. And the idea was, you don't write kanina until you do the kinyan. You don't write kanina, you didn't do a kinyan. So do the kinyan, and then you write the kanina. It shouldn't be mazikashikra. The whole thing shouldn't be fake. So, now the problem is, if they signed and didn't write kanina, you really have a problem. So they started writing viranina, or virblank nina. Because the halach is, if you can tell what the word is, it's also kosher and ishtar. So, it's good one way or the other. In Chayshu Mishpat, it says he cried Kadima. Because he can even sign that he borrowed money before he borrowed money. And not only that, it says on the top that the Echsha Achasna Omalah Hadda Basulta Havali Liyintu Das Mashav Yisrael. That certainly didn't happen yet. That's Hari Amukadeshusli. So, we shine Shtaris ahead of time. It's a little mysterious why the Minig was to leave out Kadima. There are some circles in Klal Yisrael that say it's a mistake and write it. There are other circles that try to therem for it with different
what can they do?
Possible answers. Chalipin. They give a pen and he in turn obligates himself.
There you go.
Yeah.
So where did they separate the nowadays
when did they separate Kedushin and Nisuin? I believe the earliest source is the Mardukhai. Mardukhai is at the end of Yishayim. And it's Mashma from the context that it was a big nisayin that they shouldn't, she's Eshes Ish. It was a big nisayin for Yisurei, she's Asatim, Kalo B'loi Bracha Sula B'ayla Kanida. It says in Yehuda, they were flagrantly over on it. So because they were being over on it, they put the Kedushin, that from the context of the Mordechai, it sounds like that's why. Someone asked before in the Tanoim, it says, Yishlatu V'nasei Shava B'Shava. They should have shlita on their money, shava b'shava. So the question is that a wife doesn't have shlita in the nechassim. So famously, Rafutin said, "Nein, mishayv das v'adachassim." Mishayv v'adachassim. There was a din tyrant by a get where a woman demanded he have the money. We said, "Yishkuv in the sand, shava b'shava." It's a tshuva, Rishlaim Akuga. I believe in the Sefer Elif al-Chashlaimai. He says it's a shufra delishna. Just a nice lashon, a flowery lashon. Yishlo v'nasei shava b'shava. Nobody really means it. And that's a chiddush. Even though you write it, yishlo v'nasei shava b'shava.
So, the person loses it ksuba.
If you lose a ksuba, there's something called a ksuba de erchasa. You can't take a regular ksuba. Ksuba de erchasa says, we got married on this and this day, and the original star said so and so, and it says we were sitting here, and the husband and wife came, and they said, they don't know if it's true. They don't write it's true. They write they said that this took place. Those that both made that there's such a schayvusin, and then they sign on the ksuba derechus. What? I don't think it's a Kenyan.
Yeah, yeah.
But what?
Would it be different if you have the same exact meaning again?
I don't know. There's a standard ksuba derechus. When a person changes their name, there's no standard ksuba for ksuba and shine Hashem. That's a ksuba derechus. Where'd you find it?
You gave it
I gave it that one. Okay, it's pretty good. So here's the ksuba derechus. My dahabis kadmona, but so and so on Shabbos means today, so and so came, also the kadmona, v'amalana. This couple came and they said to us, he said, he's the mischayev. The husband came and he said, hada moras, pliny bas plinis, plinis bas pliny, incivilly into mekadmas dona, she married me in the past, be'ir blank, kilzim leis Yisrael, the masim, the gavrayim, the chope, the kiddushin. And then it goes to the ksuba that.
So if
vice
versa,
there's one book that is
regarded before a lot of ksuba.
What?
The lashon about the status.
The lashon is a little longer. The lashon says, "Kadu irchus lashtak sufta." Since she lost the shak sufta, that was ksiva laminai. Miyam dan savis. That was written even the day we got married. Omer Rabban Rasla by Yisrael l'shui yamin say b'loy ksuba explains why he's doing it. It should be an additional eschayvus. Then you have to go through the nusa, but that's basically the nusa. When someone changes their name, there's chalukei deis what to do. The earliest tshuva I'm aware of is the Nechas Yitzchak, which is the last generation. He says he could use the old ksuba because on that date that was her name. Or he says if you want to do a new ksuba, you use a lashon of a ksuba d'shtaka peituusa. What Rav Palm did is he did a kiyum on the bottom. He took the old ksuba. And on the bottom, he added an ishur. An ishur is anachnu ma'ashrin, we certify, that Pliny ben Pliny, whatever the name is on top, that the new name, that Pliny ben Pliny, hoysa shmai, so-and-so, at this and this date, and this is his new name, and it's a hemshech of the previous tzuvah. And then the two items sign. So you could do it one way or the other. Okay, we take a summer Ben Azmanim, and yeah. I would like to do Cheshem Mishpat, but I have to look at the calendar, probably in 2 or 3 weeks before Yom Ne'raim, so maybe I'll do Shaifer or some Yom Ne'raim topic. I'd like to do, 4 years ago we started doing Eben Ezra. I couldn't believe it was 4 years. I looked online at your site in December of 2021, and it's amazing that we stuck with it. For me, it's a new challenge. What?
Where are we going to start?
Siman Aleph, where else?